My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Paul Fieriga hosts a great podcast called Storylines Live. Paul, tell us what you talk about on the show.
The most important story any business owns, it's capital S story. The narrative that answers why someone would buy from, work for, invest in, or partner with that business. In each Storylines Live episode, we explore business storytelling and interview business leaders and marketing experts about their capital S stories.
Awesome. And where can people subscribe?
Go to wordwriteagency.com/storylines or find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Storylines Live wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Sienna Dexter.
What's more important is to understand how your purpose fits into the lives of your consumers. It's important to understand what tensions they're going through, not in terms of maybe going as far as saying what keeps them up at night, but those tensions that exist when they arrive at the retail shelf.
Sienna Dexter is Director of Strategy and Associate Partner at Smash Brand, where she works with FMCG brands to create branding and packaging that's proven to perform at point of sale through quantifiable data. Working internationally at agencies in London, Dusseldorf, and now Idaho, Sienna has positioned brands from startup challengers to multi-brand enterprises for proven commercial success. Sienna, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you, Nick. I'm pleased to be here.
I am too. You know, I feel like I'm so excited to talk, you know, in this distracted digital world that we find ourselves in. I feel like there are so many shiny new things crowding us marketers for attention. And I'm excited to talk about packaging and point of sale, because this is not something that comes up, and yet it's incredibly important. I would say first, as a packaging professional, how do you fight for space in this crazy world that marketers find ourselves in?
Well, actually, Nick, that's a really good question. I think we saw a really big trend towards going to direct to consumer online, with it being a more obviously open space, and you don't have the challenge of trying to get buyers to buy into your product, right? There's no limited shelf space if you go online. And especially over the last 2 years of the pandemic, we saw a lot of brands positioning themselves as direct to consumer, really pivoting all of their efforts towards selling online and direct to consumer. But now we're seeing a bit of a shift in the other direction. Now we're seeing that more direct-to-consumer brands are actually seeing the opportunities of being positioned on shelf for a couple of reasons. First of all, there's actually fewer brands that to actually compete with. If you think in terms of attention span as well, when you're in the store, sure, you've got your phone and you're maybe checking your messages and maybe you've got your WhatsApp going. But if you're there browsing, you're already in a position where you want to buy a product, where you're primed to already look for a solution to your problem. Another benefit of it is browsing. You're there in the store and you're looking around. So you get to capture shoppers' attention as they're just browsing around the store. And that's something that you don't get online unless you're having ads pop up, which perhaps sometimes they're unwelcome. So really direct to consumer, while playing still a very big role in marketing and targeting consumers and offering solutions, we're seeing huge opportunities now in retail as well.
You know, that's fascinating. It almost seems like some of that has flipped, like you talked about with online brands in retail. You know, my focus group of one, I love the Untuck It shirt brand, and I've only engaged with them online. But I was in New York a couple weeks ago, and I was so excited. It's funny. I had my daughter with me, and she was excited to go to the Crocs store. Because Crocs are back in for some,
are they really?
Some reason among young people. You know, it was like it was the most embarrassing shoe forever, but now like it's like some kind of a cool status symbol. I digress.
Gosh, I'll have to let my mom know.
yeah. I digress because my daughter was so excited about the Crocs store, but I was excited to go into the Untuck It store because here was this brand that, like you said, I'd only engaged with online, but all of a sudden, it's almost like going to an attraction where we've taken the retail space from being the everyday thing it used to be, and now the online stuff is the everyday thing and the event. The special experience is that immersive point of sale.
Absolutely. We're seeing more and more brands that have a brick and mortar presence really leaning into the opportunities that they have to provide an experiential experience at point of sale. It could be through grand shelf designs and almost booths, like for example we visited a Petco store in San Diego, one of the flagship Petco stores, recently for a project, and it was fantastic. We sent a couple of shoppers down there who'd never been there before, and it was astounding. It felt to them like almost like a shopping mall experience where you go and each brand has their own huge department where you can interact with staff, where everything's built out in the personality of the brand, and they can have a 360 experiential experience when they interact with this brand. So you can take it so much more from that two-dimensional other side of the screen experience to something that's tactile, that you can create ambient sounds, feeling the feel of the packaging, from the sounds you play, from the way the staff members smile at you at the particular stall that you go to. There's so many more opportunities to leverage your brand equity at point of sale.
You know, that's such a good point, because I feel like at the risk of digressing further into the general state of retail, you know, I think there's a lot of quick and easy headlines that are like, oh, retail's in trouble. You know, everybody's mm-hmm. online. But what I think's in trouble are unremarkable experiences, kind of big beige gray boxes with stuff on the shelf. I think you do need something, like you said, that is that kind of, like you said, of that Petco, of that shopping mall kind of flagship experience. We can't just put stuff on a shelf and expect people to show up and for it to perform like it used to.
Absolutely. I think the ability to help physical products perform on shelves, it's an art form and a science in itself. It's I suppose you wouldn't say kind of more than ever, but potentially more than ever, because attention spans are shorter than ever. You have such a small window to have that captive audience interacting with your brand, and you have those few precious moments to communicate what you're about, how you solve the problem, why they should listen to you, why they should pick up the pack, turn it over, read the back of it, and then finally have it land in their basket. But more importantly, how you can continue to communicate with them so they go back the next time they're in the store and pick the same brand up again. So really, there are huge opportunities at point of sale now. And like you said, it comes down to that experiential experience. There's from the way the package looks, from the feel of the paper, whether you're using embossing, whether you have a little window into the product inside, what does the messaging say? How does it feel? What's the weight of it in your hand? You have all of those multi-sensory experiences that simply don't exist when you've just got a product that you're selling two-dimensionally online.
So I'm at a fork in the road. I have two questions, and I hope we can get to both of them, but I feel like they take us potentially two separate directions. So I'm going to let you kind of wayfind for us a bit here, because I'm wondering about both brands with an existing point of sale retail space today that are thinking about that challenge and how to up that point of sale experience. Yeah. And I'm also thinking back to my Untuckit shirts of something that's been direct to consumer. And you are, like you said, seeing people capitalize on that opportunity and say, let's make this brand in the three-dimensional real world space and really bring it to life. But how I'm gonna have you wayfind for us a bit here. What presents themselves most to you in your work at Smash Brand? Is it one? Is it the other?
Well, actually, that's an easy answer, because it's both. We work both with direct-to-consumer brands who are looking to launch into retail or take their following that they've gained, you know, a huge following, for example, over social media, and then translate that into brick-and-mortar sales and into retailers. We also help brands that are already selling within retail to perhaps adjust their position in order to better compete in that environment. So the question, let me get if I understood it right, is what's the magic? What's the magic thing here? Like, well, how do we help brands do that? Was that the question? How can
And yes, your wayfinding was a little sketchy because you said both, but that was kind of the follow-up question, and we can start with either audience. But yeah, regardless of what type of brand you are, which one of those buckets you fall into, is there a first step that is essential in bringing that to life?
100%. I think that we know from the work we do, and also it is my firm belief that you have to put the audience at the center of every story that you're telling as a brand. Too many brands today are talking about what they do, what their heritage is, where they come from, whether it's an age-old family recipe, whether it was, every kind of brand story that you have, really, their mission, their purpose. It's a we set out to do X, Y, Z, right? What that does, and I am all for brands with purpose. I think it's important to have purpose, contrary to what a lot of people, bloggers and journalists are now saying, that that purpose is over. I believe that it's very much still important. But what's more important is to understand how your purpose fits into the lives of your consumers. It's important to understand what tensions they're going through, not in terms of maybe going as far as saying what keeps them up at night. But those tensions that exist when they arrive at the retail shelf. So it could be, wow, you know, sunscreen, this is not an exciting purchase. I wish there was something that excited me as I'm about to go away on holiday. It could be sustainability that they're concerned about when they're purchasing their water bottle. You need to understand what those tensions exist as they relate to the overall competitive market environment. And you need to map those out and then measure how you can offer a solution that targets those challenges. And I'm just going to digress for, you know, just do a tiny segue into something else that I think would be beneficial for your listeners. And that's how we uniquely help our clients to succeed at point of sale through the testing that we do. So we do something like we call Packwords testing. Essentially, it's understanding the hierarchy of messaging on the pack at point of sale. So on that primary display panel. When testing how the words, the call outs, the claims we make on pack stand out against other brands on shelves, and then directly how they raise purchase intent, we're able to better understand how we can help our clients succeed by telling the right argument on the front of the pack.
On Brand, we'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Paul Fioriga hosts a great podcast called Storylines Live. Paul, tell us what you talk about on the show.
The most important story any business owns, it's capital S story. The narrative that answers why someone would buy from, work for, invest in, or partner with that business. In each Storylines Live episode, we explore business storytelling and interview business leaders and marketing experts about their capital S stories.
Awesome. And where can people subscribe?
Go to wordrightagency.com/storylines or find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Storylines Live wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
Now, back to the show.
I'm so glad you brought up testing too, because I feel like testing is one of those things that marketers nod along with. Yep, that's important. It's key. Can't be successful without that. Oh, what are you doing when it comes to testing? Oh, not. We just have to go. We did. So we're not doing enough of that. It's kind of like eating our vegetables, yeah. And. Yeah. And I love that idea, especially as applied to packaging, which it seems like is speaking of forks in the road, is a moment in the point of sale experience that is absolutely essential, and crying out for a data driven decision to get more of your people on the right path to purchase. Have there been interesting, without giving away specifics, have there been interesting stories at that fork in the road that have led to significant shifts in either strategy, copy, or packaging?
Absolutely. For each project we work on, we will always incorporate a consumer primary research study. And also a concept study. I think depending on what's right for the particular brand and what's right for the particular project. So whether we're testing how concepts are performing against other leading brands within the competitive set, whether we're testing that performance, whether we're testing which of the designs performs best out of a range that we've put forward, or whether we're really at the start of the project testing what factors are most important to the audience that we're selling to, it's very much integral to the success of the project that we understand all of those variables. so that at each stage, we know that we can give our clients the best possible chance to perform at point of sale. It's taking the guesswork out of it. And I think without integrating that into the strategic process, and not by outsourcing to, you know, an outside testing server, like I know there's a lot of agencies out there, and I think it's, you know, everyone should do kind of what works for them, of course. But for me, I strongly believe that using an outside service provider to do the testing doesn't work as effectively as when you've got that integrated into your strategic process. It's almost like outsourcing your design to someone else if you're a design agency, or outsourcing your copy. It has to very much be a part of your process and integrated into your agency in order for it to flow seamlessly and get the right results from start to finish. So that's really what we uniquely do.
That's so key. And I guess I had personally never thought about it that way, but and it directly related to how I framed that too, of we acknowledge the importance of testing, but we don't, from how you answered that, we don't keep it as close as we should. It is something special that we bring someone in for to do. Yeah. That's not always as connected with, like you said, the rest of the operations as maybe it should be.
Absolutely. And then, you know, if you're outsourcing your testing, then how on earth are they supposed to communicate with the strategic department? Strategy feeds into testing, which feeds into strategy, which feeds into design and creative, which then goes back to testing. And they all need to work seamlessly at multiple touch points throughout the process. So just like if you're, like I said before, if you're outsourcing your creatives to somewhere else, you're not going to get as good as a result as if they're all used to working together as a strong team, almost thinking as one mind and really in sync with each other creatively and strategically. So that's something we firmly believe in at Smash Brand, and something that I don't think any other agency is doing at the moment. I know there's a lot that already caught on to how important testing is. And I'm sure that that's something that a lot of agencies are going to be doing in the future. But that's certainly something that I can confidently say we've pioneered.
Okay, let's flip it the other way. We're testing, we're keeping it close, or partnering with someone like Smash Brand that keeps it close. Is there a point at which you can test something as critical and frontline too much, or rather, a more constructive question, how often should you test different variables in your packaging?
Yeah, I think that that's a good question. There's a couple of schools of thought for that. There's our founder, Kevin, he's always kind of going back to a place where where the idea originally kind of came from, where he observed an agency that would bring in these expert mathematicians, and their entire job was to sit there and test every single idea that came out of the design process. Whenever there was any idea, it would first of all be tested before it was either rejected or accepted. Our process at Smash Brand isn't to test every single idea independently, but more to use consumer testing as a guide to help shape the concepts that we're putting forward. So there are certain stages of the process where it's important to get consumer feedback. And think about it kind of like a referendum, I guess. You wouldn't call referendums too frequently, otherwise, really, where's the expertise as a government, right? In order to make those laws. So in the same way, we'd use our own expertise in order to guide the creative process, the strategic process. We use testing as a validator between certain different forks in the road, as you say, in order to make sure that we are giving our clients the best guidance as to what is the most effective path. And then actually, it's really down to them whether they want to walk down it. Some clients will look at the data and say, actually, we still firmly believe that we should go in a different way. Our role is to just present that data to them, to give them all the tools that they can make a more informed, data-driven decision. And then the rest is really up to them.
So as we near the end of our conversation, every now and then when we have a topic that is really so big with a lot of important concepts, I think we give our listeners kind of a full brain on all this stuff that they've got to go do. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. So if you're someone that wants to be more strategic, more focused with what you're doing with your packaging and point of sale, what's one thing that listeners, regardless of which one of those buckets they're in, could go do today to at least take a step in the right direction?
In order to better perform at point of sale, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
What can they tangibly do? Well, do you know what? I'm a firm believer that knowledge should be shared, should and absolutely could be shared. And I think people should be doing that more. So I am going to do it here now. I think a really simple way that people without potentially the budget to go to an agency like Smashbrand can help improve their performance at point of sale is to go, well, there's two ways. First of all, is by really understanding their audience. So putting the audience as the heroes of the story, taking the brand out of the it's about us and actually make it about the people you serve. Genuinely, what problem are you fixing in their lives? What is that based on? And can you genuinely say that they really care about you being a quality brand, a trustworthy brand, you're the tastiest brand on the shelf, potentially. But really, what is it that they actually care about? If you find that out, I think you're already on the right path towards starting to create a brand that is resonating with the hearts of consumers. Another thing you can practically do is start to look on shelf at the hierarchy of messaging and the different brands that are on the shelf, the competitive set. Literally take a picture of the shelves where you want to be stocked in and start to see some patterns. Do you want to stand out? Do you want to fit in? What are the other brands saying? Should you say something different? What's the hierarchy of the words they're using on pack? And start to map those out and identify how you want to sound alongside them.
You know, I love the idea of looking at the store, and this is my very last retail shopping point of sale with Nick DeGression. But in the midst of the pandemic, you know, everybody was, flocking online to do their grocery shopping. And I always love grocery shopping. And even then, because I like to do exactly what you said, because this is, you know, I guess if, everyone's maybe a bit of a nerd about their business in particular, but I think that point of sale and looking through things and thinking about what's out there, what's working and why can inform other aspects of what we're working on also. So I think that's a great, great place for folks to jump in. Sienna, it is now time for me to ask you for a question that I know you prepared for. because, you know, I bring that up as a courtesy before we start recording. I always say, you know, the last question is going to be this brand that's made you smile thing. And you beat me to the punch and said, I am prepared. I have one. I can't tell you how many times people say, oh, ugh, can you give me a minute here? I've got to think. So I'm excited to hear your answer.
Well, originally I was going to talk about a really cool herbal mushroom brand, so a medicinal mushroom brand called Dirty that made me smile because it's, you know, lion's mane and that stuff's great. But then actually over the weekend, a colleague of mine sent me these salt and pepper shakers that her partner took from Virgin Atlantic. He was flying business class. These little kind of airplane salt and pepper shakers. They were these kind of metallic salt and pepper shakers shaped like an airplane. Then you turn them over, and underneath is a little message that just says, pinched from Virgin Atlantic. And I think it was just that message that was just absolutely classic, because obviously they know everyone's going to take them home. And they've got their brand on there as well. I mean, that's there to stay. That is absolutely genius. That made me smile.
That is... Now,
if only they were as good with their luggage delivery, then yeah.
Yeah. That's the... We'll give travel brands the credit where we can, because so often, yeah, all of that. No, but that's so fun. There is a fast casual restaurant here in my neck of the woods called Pancheros, and they have hot sauce in bottles in the restaurant. And I forget what the exact turn of the phrase is, but it is a page from that Virgin Atlantic strategy, because it's something to the effect of, you know, that it's made to steal, or do not steal this, or, you know, with a wink next to it. So that is that's great. And talk about, I mean, that's something that's a part of the tangible experience. But then, yeah. One way to look at that would be to steal it. But like you said, then that brand is with this person for the long haul. So
it is an ad campaign that's going to keep giving.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just probably comes out of a different budget internally, but exactly. I'll let them fight that fight. Sienna, exactly. Where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
I would, obviously they can connect with me at LinkedIn, Sienna Dexter. I'm the only one on there. They can also head over to our website, smashbrand.com, take a look at some of our case studies. And if they're interested in learning more about how Smashbrand can help them perform at point of sale, whether they're a D2C brand or whether they're a startup, a scale up, or someone that's looking to switch up their retail positioning, fill in your details and we'll get back in touch with you and tell you a bit more about our process, really.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes, which you can find at onbrandpodcast.com. Sienna Dexter, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you so much, Nick. Take care.
On Brand is part of the Marketing Podcast Network. If you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, you can always listen free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform may be. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Paul Fioriga hosts a great podcast called Storylines Live. Paul, tell us what you talk about on the show.
The most important story any business owns, it's capital S story. The narrative that answers why someone would buy from, work for, invest in, or partner with that business. In each Storylines Live episode, we explore business storytelling and interview business leaders and marketing experts about their capital S stories.
Awesome. And where can people subscribe?
Go to wordwriteagency.com/storylines or find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Storylines Live wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.